Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
President and General of your playoff-bound Chicago White Sox, Rick Hahn, nice enough to take some time out on a Saturday morning to join us in Inside the Clubhouse. That sound old to you, playoff-bound Chicago White Sox, will it, Rick?
No, hopefully, over the next several years, we'll be able to say that repeatedly, because that obviously was the mission that we set out on almost 4 years ago when we began this rebuild. So it's good to get there in 2020, but we obviously know our work's not done here over the next few months, much less over the next few years.
Looking at, we'll get into, some of the heavier topics that are happening right now, but you, on many occasions, whether it was in person or Zoom, starting in spring training in Glendale and going through this, cautioned us and pointed out that the White Sox are a very good team. We hope to get to the playoffs, which you have accomplished. We hope to win the World Series, but that we are still a team developing. We are still a team that's going to get better. And we are still a team is going to have some growing pains because of player development. Can you just talk a little bit about that and your perception of that right now as you close in on going to the playoffs?
I think that one of the larger themes for this season was this team learning how to win and learning how to compete at the highest level for championship. At the end of last season, we talked about where we were in terms of this rebuild, and we were pretty clear that we felt that sort of the first stage had been completed in terms of talent accumulation, in terms of coming up with a young core, albeit not all of it was necessarily here in Chicago already, and we'll still be adding to it in the next year or so. And that it was time to take that next step, that sort of transition stage that ultimately would get us to the third stage of being ready to win a championship. And the question really was how long this middle stage was going to take. And that was only going to be answered in part by the acquisitions we were able to make over the offseason and in part by being blessed with good health, but also in terms of how quickly this sort of young group came together and learned how to win. And we've seen, over the course of certainly over the last week, but over the last 2 months, the progress with this group and still the challenges that lay ahead. There's as frustrating as the last several days have been, the fact that we're finishing this season playing, 17 in a row and 14 in a row to finish against playoff teams is actually a really good experience for these guys. The environment when we played Minnesota last week, certainly when we played in Cleveland the last several days, that's been a playoff environment, at least as close as you can get to it without fans in the ballpark. And playing in that, those consequential games late in the season with that level of intensity is a wonderful experience for this young group to go through, much less what we're going to experience starting next week when the playoffs begin. So this is serving us well. Obviously, our aim is to win this year's championship. But if for whatever reason we fall short of that, there is going to be important progress made this year.
Yeah, Rick, and Bruce and I were just looking at the playoff seedings. And what if the season ended today, which would be completely different than what it'll look like when the season actually does end after play tomorrow. And we heard Ricky say coming into the segment, the cut we played, you know, basically I don't care who we play in the playoffs. As the team's general manager and watching the peaks and valleys and the ups and downs and everything that's happened in this crazy season, heading into the postseason, how was it that are you able to look back on that with your wide lens and say, okay, here's where this team is at right now, and let's go get them.
You know, looking at it with a wide lens, I think that if you had told any of us before the season started that we were going to win, you know, 34 to 36 games and be a playoff team and enter the last weekend with a chance still to win the division, we probably would have been pretty excited about that. We would have viewed that, you know, back in spring training as real good progress for this team and a good position to be in. It's easy to lose sight of that over the last week, given the way we've played, and it certainly has been real frustrating. And you know, maybe we should have looked at the fine print in spring training if someone had offered that to us and realized that this last week was going to be challenging, but to get there. But it's with the wide lens, you can see that progress. But honestly, you know, when you're in the midst of a slump like this, it's easy to lose sight of that. You are so focused on trying to win that night's ball game, and the team wanting to just, you know, get that victory under the belt and the slump and you know, get ready for entering the postseason, hopefully with momentum. But the fact is you're right, from a wide lens standpoint, this has been a real positive overall, given where we sit today.
Rick Hahn joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. He is the Vice President, General Manager of your Southside Players and franchise. Rick, as we talk about the growth chart for your players, we would be remiss not talking about that for your manager and coaches as well, being in this position for the first time as a group with a team that has a chance to win and are now advancing to the playoffs. You look back at, you know, Thursday and Ricky taking a lot of heat for his decision-making and the growth of dealing with those situations, coming through it, standing up and being the guy he has to be moving forward. How would you, you know, say that this is for him and the coaches as far as dealing with the reality of important games for the first time in their careers, in their positions?
Well, look, I think that we saw how accountable Ricky was the other day and stood up and answered the questions in the face of criticism, which is what you would want in that scenario. I don't feel like there necessarily was the need for any growth in that regard in terms of, you know, taking responsibility and being accountable. That's been something that Ricky and this staff has preached to the players going back to the early stages of this rebuild, and it's part of the culture that all of us wanted to create. So the fact that he's living up to that is not a surprise, and it is what we've seen for the last several years. Perhaps because the games are more intense and the stakes are a little higher, it falls under more scrutiny, but I think in terms of being up to that challenge, he and the staff have always have been.
Yeah, he and Coop both got pretty hot last night after the whole bat flip thing, and then Jimmy Cordero with the ball that got away from him and hit Contreras got a little fire in their steps there yesterday.
Yeah, and look, that's understandable. Having the stakes are high, the desire to enter the postseason in peak form is in, you know, burning in all those guys. So yeah, the competitiveness is going to spill over sometimes. You know, I think that in the end, showing that passion and that fight is a positive, and it's not a surprise to any of us who are around the team and around Ricky. You know, that comes out in that scenario. He's always going to, you know, want to defend his guys, and if he felt like something wasn't handled properly and without the explanation he was looking for, that you're going to see that fire from him. I mean, I think we went like 55 games without an injection ejection, and then we've last several days we've had like five. So it's certainly that time of year where things have peaked up a little bit in terms of the intensity, and seeing our coaches respond to that isn't a surprise.
Ooh, hitting a player that just showed you up, oh boy, that's, you know, so horrible. How has baseball changed so much, Rick, over the years, where this was just a formality, you know, 10 years ago? You know, if you hit a home run and you showed the opposition up a little bit, now it's considered, in 2020, guys have a right to establish themselves as entertainers as well as performers. And how dare you throw at them? Where have we gone, and how do you perceive that type of change?
No, you're probably actually better suited to speak to how dramatic the change has been over the last several decades. From my standpoint, quite frankly, like, if you don't want the guy to potentially showboat or bat flip or whatever, get him out. Don't give him the opportunity to have something to celebrate. My answer is exactly the same whether we're talking about an opponent celebrating something they've done against us as it would be when, you know, a year ago when we're talking about Tim Anderson or any of our players who are demonstrating a little personality on the field. There's not room in the current game, in my opinion, for taking a player's, potentially risking a player's health by mm-hmm. intentionally throwing an object at them. And I think that's probably the best approach, and it's the one our club has followed over the course of the last several years. Obviously, you know, we've far more often been on the other side of potentially receiving, you know, criticism for being, you know, showing perhaps a little more flair or excitement on the field than old school baseball would allow. But again, that's part of the player showing their own personality, and there's a way to stop that from happening, and that's by keeping them in the park.
Yep, Rick Hahn is our guest here on Inside the Clubhouse. A few more minutes here with Bruce Levine and Mike Esposito. And Rick, as we look ahead to the playoffs, you know, Bruce and I, we love to speculate. We look at how that rotation lines up, and I know you're not going to give away any trade secrets. You guys may not know just yet how that rotation is going to slide out, but certainly Dane Dunning has pitched himself into consideration, and we'll see him tonight against John Lester.
Yeah, Dane is definitely in the mix for potentially starting that game three, and in a three-game series with Giolito and Keuchel going 1-2, we might have the ability come game three to be a little creative in how we deploy our pitchers that day, depending on the usage the first couple of days. But whether it's Dane or Lopey or Cease starting that game, or some combination of usage of all of them during that game, we're going to have some options. And, obviously we're getting to the point where our bullpen with Evan Marshall returning yesterday, where our bullpen is now fully healthy, knock on wood, and gives Ricky and the coaches a fair amount of options in terms of how they want to play matchups in a series deciding game in game three, should we get there.
A fascinating part of this year, and it's been fascinating on both sides of town, but for you guys in particular, has been the development and ascension of Garrett Crochet coming on and never having pitched in professional baseball, only pitched 3 1/3 innings of college ball in 2020, coming on and looking like a guy, and again, it's only a sample size, but a guy that's comfortable and dominant at the same time. I wonder how much you've enjoyed that, and how much you're looking forward to that continuing through a playoff run.
You know, it really has been pretty remarkable, Bruce. As you alluded to, he's thrown more innings now in the big leagues than he did in college this year, which is just stunning, and obviously a byproduct of the pandemic and what we're all living through right now. But this kid, going back to the draft when Mike Shirley and his guys, you know, basically pounded the table from the start about what this kid's capable of doing, and including potentially helping us this year. That was not necessarily part of the original intent, but we knew it was a possibility based upon what Mike Shirley and Phil Gulley and all the others were telling us about him, much less what you were able to see in the limited video and the analytics behind it. Then when he got to Schaumburg and, you know, was working in front of our player development staff, the reports we were getting from, you know, from Everett Kieferd and Matt Valesky and Chris Goetz, not just about the stuff, which everyone obviously was aware of, but about the composure and the makeup, about how this guy had the ability to, you know, stand out there on a big league mound only a few weeks after being drafted and handle it. And that's probably been the most impressive part. The stuff has been, you know, very similar to as advertised. The ability to come up to the big leagues and compete against big league hitters in big situations like the ones in Cleveland last week has been real impressive. And then, you know, we're thrilled to have him going forward and look forward to seeing what he can do over the next few weeks.
Rick, as we head into the playoffs, and I'm going to include this weekend in that because you guys still have plenty to play for with these last two games of the regular season with the Cubs. Earlier this season, it was almost a, you know, we're a young team, we're loose, we're going to do our thing, we're playing great. And obviously, as you mentioned, the last week has been a struggle. Do you think they're able to flip that switch back to whatever it is they have to do? I know it's not easy and it's certainly not automatic. Do you think they're going to be able to flip that switch back to the team that was crushing the ball earlier this season?
I do. And honestly, like, again, this last week has been, you know, very frustrating for everyone involved. At the same time, it's going to be a good learning experience. It's going to serve them well. You've heard me say over the years when we've talked about prospects and promotions that when guys struggle in the minor leagues, that's actually okay because eventually they learn the tools to pull themselves out of it. And inevitably at the big league level, at some point, there's going to be struggles for the individual player, and it's good for them to have the resources to pull back that experience when they're in the minors and how they were able to pull themselves out of it. That's not dissimilar on a team level. Obviously, we've struggled the last few days. Given the combination of talent and the veterans who have been through this before, suspect we are going to pull out of this thing. And for the long term, it's going to serve us well to have the recollection of having gone through this during the playing, you know, playoff caliber teams in the midst of a pennant race. And being able to come out of it and fight and compete and win into October. So for the long term, as unpleasant as it is to sit through for the last several days, I do think it's going to benefit us for the long term.
In closing with you, Rick, and we appreciate it at the station, Mike and I as well, for taking some time out on this Saturday, closing out the season here. It would seem pretty simple for teams to set up their postseason roster with their top two pitchers, but I look at it as a very complicated mix, and I wonder if you'll allow me to or tell me whether I'm overthinking it or not, but you have Keuchel with all of this experience and, you know, can set the tone for the playoffs, and then you have Giolito, who's the ace of your staff. How much time and concentration do you guys spend tossing that around and coming up with a mix, because you know the second game of a 2-out-of-3 series is an elimination game already. So it's territory where people haven't gone before in decades.
Are you saying in terms of the ordering of the who goes game one and who goes game two?
Yeah.
You know, I think we're in a – I feel like we're in a position where we obviously have a great deal of confidence in both of those two starters. And add into that mix that we have been able to – rest and manage the bullpen in a way that we should enter both games one and two, you know, fully armed, so to speak, and having, you know, multiple quality options behind each of them. So I don't think we feel like one guy necessarily has to go game one or game two. We like the way we stack up for both of those days. And then as I alluded to earlier, should we find ourselves in a game three situation, an all or nothing game three situation, especially with those guys going in the first two, we could be very well positioned with multiple different options to get us through that final game. So, again, given the caliber of both Giolito and Keuchel, backed up by, knock on wood, should be a rested and healthy pen, we'll take our chances both ways with either of those guys. So I don't think you can necessarily go wrong in terms of the ordering.
Yeah, I believe that your bullpen could be the very best and the most dominant going into postseason. Rick, thank you so much for joining us, taking some time out. Best of luck. Congrats again on making the playoffs this year.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.